Hey everyone, welcome back to Man of the Match podcast with your host Matt. In the soccer world, we're experiencing a lot of change right now. Whether it's players changing clubs, clubs changing their sponsors and their kits in favor of new kits for the new season. Change is happening simply all around us. Same with the world in general. In terms of just new news around the soccer world, La Liga has changed their sponsor. It is no longer La Liga Santander for the first division. It's now La Liga EA Sports. And now the second division will be called La Liga Hypermotion instead of La Liga Smart Bank. And when I mean Hypermotion, yes, I mean the little animation that pops up after you score a goal in FIFA. That's honestly kind of crazy that a technology is sponsoring the second division. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Smart Bank. I believe Smart Bank was like a technology used for Santander, but still, that's kind of crazy. But La Liga also changed their logo, as I said in one of, I think it was the last episode they had changed their logo. So it seems to be like a whole new identity for La Liga in general. The Euro 2024 mascot was just named. It was already released. It is a teddy bear, and its name is Albert now. Similar to Albert, but Bart because he's a teddy bear. Yeah, the vote was from normal voters online. You could have voted. I put it on my story if you wanted to vote. And it was based on a vote from also German school children, because Germany is obviously hosting the tournament. Hopefully the host will impress in the tournament, as their recent run of form in friendlies has been absolutely terrible. Hopefully Germany can get back on their feet. Speaking of Germany, they dropped another place in the FIFA Men's World Ranking, which puts them at 14th or 15th. I forgot which one. Apologies. But the FIFA Men's World Ranking, the latest edition, was released on June 29th. Hence why I couldn't review it in my last episode, which was published on June 27th. So sorry about that. I'll try to upload more consistently now. But the top 10 for the FIFA Men's World Ranking goes as follows. Staying at number 1 is Argentina. Staying at number 2 is France. Staying at number 3 is Brazil. England moved one spot up to number 4. Belgium moved one spot down to number 5. Croatia, after their great performance in the Nation League and unfortunately losing on penalties to Spain, moved one spot up to number 6. The Netherlands, who lost to Croatia in the Nations League semifinals, moved one spot down to number 7. Italy, who won the third place game against the Netherlands in the Nations League, stayed at number 8. Portugal stayed at number 9 and 10. It's the Nations League winners, Spain. Now, most players have returned to training after being on holiday, unless they are playing in an international tournament, which the only one that's happening right now is the CONCACAF Gold Cup, or they're still taking their holiday, or they're negotiating a move to another team. Now, speaking of negotiating moves to other teams, a lot of transfers have happened since we last talked. Follow my story and obviously my Instagram page. I try to keep you updated as to what moves are happening. And similar to last time, let's go back to transfer talk and let's recap all the moves that have happened since we last talked. And we're going to rate them again. All right. Edouard Mendy to Al Ahly. A terrible move for one of the best current African goalkeepers. He could be playing at the highest level at this moment. Still, he could be playing Champions League football with maybe another team, but Chelsea decided to send him off to a newly promoted. They did not play in the Saudi Pro League last season. They played in the Saudi second division, a newly promoted Saudi Pro League team, just because they wanted the money. They needed the money because of how much they spent in the last two transfer windows. Keep in mind, Chelsea did spend over $600 million in the last transfer window, so they're selling a lot of players to kind of compensate for that. In terms of Al Ahly, it's a great move for them. They could definitely use that after being promoted. I'm not sure how long they were in the Saudi Pro League before they got relegated. I don't know how long it's been. I don't really follow Saudi football. Now I kind of have to. But it's obviously a great move for them, a 10 out of 10. He's still one of the best goalkeepers in the world. Not the best, but one of the best. A very big move that happened in between Chelsea and Arsenal recently was Kai Havertz to Arsenal. Now, in terms of the move for Havertz, that's a 9 out of 10. It's a great move for him, getting the chance to play for more trophies in what could potentially be the prime of his career. He might have to compete for some playing time at front, but the amount of money they spend on Havertz, I don't think that Arsenal would put him on the bench that much. But this just adds to Arsenal's attack. From Arsenal's point of view, I just said it. He's a great attacking player. He could help them win more trophies, preferably the Premier League for them. However, it's a 9 out of 10 only because I think Arsenal should maybe focus on getting some more defensive-minded midfielders and some more defensive players because of what happened last season. It's a 9 out of 10 for them, though. Another move that happened in the Premier League was James Maddison to Tottenham Hotspur. For Maddison, it's a 10 out of 10. He had to escape Leicester City. They got relegated, so I mean, he still wanted to be playing at the highest level. So the move to a big six club was even better than what he could have expected. In terms of Spurs' end of the deal, it's a 7 out of 10. He's a good player. He's not amazing, I would say, but he can definitely help with some long-range shots. He's amazing at free kicks, but he's good. He's not great, hence why it's a 7 out of 10 for Spurs. Another move in the Premier League. Yes, another one. This time to the treble-winning side, Manchester City, from Chelsea, because Chelsea needed to sell more players again. This time, it's Mateo Kovacic who's going to Manchester City. For Kovacic, it's a 9 out of 10. He's going to have to earn his spot with a lot of competition in the midfield. There's a lot of good midfielders in Manchester City. Obviously, it's a chance to win even more trophies than he did at Chelsea with some world-class players surrounding him. And it kind of seems that he's the replacement for Gundogan. So maybe he'll get a lot of playing time, but definitely he'll have to show that he deserves it. For Man City, it's a 7 out of 10. It's a good price at £30 million, but I feel like they could have signed a better replacement for Gundogan, like a defensive-minded midfielder, such as, I don't know, Declan Rice. Declan Rice is one of the best British talents available this transfer window. I think they could have signed him, but instead they went with Kovacic, and they pulled out of the Rice deal, and Rice is now finishing everything up at Arsenal. I think we'll be probably reviewing that move by the next time we talk. Maybe they will sign Rice, but until then, this was a good move for them, Manchester City, but not an incredible one. Speaking of Gundogan, he moved to Barcelona on a free transfer. For Gundo, it's a 9 out of 10. Barcelona is a great team, obviously, that suits him well. He's getting a little bit older, so he's going to have more chances to win more trophies at the end of his career. Obviously, he won a lot of trophies this season in the past few seasons with Manchester City, but this move will help cement his legacy as a incredible football player for Germany and just overall. For FC Barcelona, it's a 9 out of 10. He's an incredible player with an even lower price tag than he should have been priced at. He was, as I said, he was brought as a free agent, so it didn't cost him anything except for his wages. As I said with Gundogan himself, the main problem seems to be that he's aging a little bit, but that shouldn't be too much of a problem over the next 3 or 4 years, but after that it kind of will, because he'll be like 35-36, so maybe it's going to start to become a problem then, but for now it's a great move for both sides. Tim Weah has moved to the Italian giants Juventus. For Weah, it's a 9 out of 10 move, leaving Lille to go to a huge club in Italy isn't good, but it might be a costly choice for Tim Lamb. He might have less playing time at first due to the higher competition within the squad to play, to start in the attack, and then also in the Serie A. He might have to adjust to that, but it's a great move for him. For Juventus right now, it's a 7 out of 10. Wei is a good player right now. Not exactly the best, but if they develop him, he could be incredible and he could be very useful in the attack. Now we have our first 10 out of 10 move for both sides. Dominic Szoboszlai to Liverpool. I don't even need to say the ratings because for both sides, it's a 10 out of 10. For Dominic, he needed a big move to a new club, and he definitely got one in the move to Liverpool. He will fit right in because there's no competition at spots from the in the midfield. Their midfield, Liverpool's midfield, is completely dry right now. It seems like they let defenders in all the time. He will definitely fit right in. He needs to, as a Liverpool supporter, I can say that confidently. For Liverpool, it's a 10 out of 10 as well. They filled a huge void in the midfield with the signing. They've improved their midfield, which was a big objective in this transfer window for them. And they improved their attack because I didn't mention this, but Szoboszlai can shoot outside of the box easily. But now maybe it's time for Liverpool to focus on either a defensive-minded midfielder or another extra center back, or an extra wing back. But overall, a great move for both sides. Sandro Tonali has gone to Newcastle, honestly, an unexpected move that I thought wasn't going to happen. For Tonali, it's 8 out of 10. It's a good move to a club that now plays Champions League football that will definitely pay him well with the Saudi money that they have. However, he is kind of demoralized from leaving AC Milan, not going to Newcastle. He's happy to go to Newcastle, but he's sad that he's leaving AC Milan. He thought that he had a good relationship with the club, but unfortunately the club needed some money, so they had to sell him off for a huge fee, which will definitely help them, but it's kind of sad because he was expected to be a club legend. He's loved AC Milan since he was a young child, so it's kind of demoralizing to leave the club. Newcastle, it's a 9 out of 10 move for them. Tonali's a great player with a promising future. He's already showing that he has good leadership. He's the captain of the Italian under-21 team. And he also helps bring a more defensive aspect to the midfield that Newcastle needs. Another big star that has left to go to a Saudi club, Roberto Firmino, has gone to Al Ahly, which is the newly promoted side that also just signed Edouard Mendy. For Firmino, it's a 4 out of 10 move. He's leaving the prime of his career at the age of 31. He's a decent player who can still score at a high level. He netted 11 in his last season with Liverpool. He could have stayed in Europe and played at a high level for some club, but his wages seem to play a huge role as his decision as a free agent. For Al Ahly side of the deal, it's a 10 out of 10. He's a great player who is sure, 8 out of 10, sorry. He's a good player who is sure to score goals. It's a fantastic move for the club to get him on the free transfer. Obviously, he's leaving the prime of his career and he's getting a little bit older. So that might become a problem in the upcoming years. Another big move for an American, Ricardo Pepi has moved to PSV Eindhoven. For Pepi, it's a 10 out of 10. He's been waiting for this huge move to, he was hoping that it was PSV, and it was PSV. It was a long waiting period, being on loan spells, playing for smaller clubs in Germany, and the Eredivisie. He can definitely make a difference at the club, but the amount of game time he's going to get is uncertain, but I hope, as an American, I hope that the best for him, and I hope that it's a lot of good playing time that he gets. For PSV, it's 7 out of 10. It's similar to the other American situation, Tim Weah. Pepe's a great young player who still needs to be developed. He's already impressed on a loan spell in the Eredivisie, scoring 12 goals in 29 games for the now relegated FC Groningen. If the club gives him the chances and the time he needs, he can be outstanding, just like Tim Lamb. And now, one of the biggest moves of the summer transfer window, Mason Mount to Manchester United. Another 10 out of 10 for both sides. Mason Mount, obviously, it's a 10 out of 10 for him. He needed to leave Chelsea, and he did. With the current state the club is in, there was no reason for him to stay. No European football. That was probably one of the biggest deciding factors in the way the club was heading already. That didn't seem too good. And he's already going to be surrounded by great teammates who can play very well. And he's going to be surrounded by a great manager, Erik ten Hag. For Manchester United, it's a 10 out of 10. Mount, similar to Dominic Szoboszlai, filled a gaping void in Manchester United's midfield. And he's an incredible talent that should play well with United. Now that we're done with talking about the transfers that have happened over the past summer, let's talk about another event in the summer for a little bit. Happy 4th of July to all my fellow Americans that are listening. It's a bit late, but I wanted to talk about American soccer, and a lot of great things have happened very recently that have helped and showed how the game is growing in the United States. I actually did this topic, it was in my first episode ever, so this is kind of going back a year later to see how much American soccer has developed. The first way American soccer has shown growth and development, and it's an example of it, was the MLS. Now, I don't normally applaud the MLS, but this season has been like no other for the MLS. First of all, they signed a deal with Apple TV to have their games streamed exclusively on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, which isn't available just in the United States or the surrounding countries. Guys, it's available in the whole world. This is not an ad for MLS Season Pass. This is just applauding them for getting their games out to be viewed everywhere, except for obviously like select countries like Russia, North Korea, like the obvious ones. Another example of how soccer interest improved in the United States, I'm still on the MLS topic, was the MLS game that happened on the 4th of July. LA Galaxy played LAFC, LA Galaxy 1-1. It was an incredible game, first of all, can I say that? It was an incredible game. And they sold out the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. 82,110 people were there to see it. That is just incredible for American soccer. It's a record attendance for the MLS. And the fact that that many people would skip their 4th of July celebrations to go watch a soccer game, that just shows that people are now prioritizing soccer, which shows how fast it's growing in the United States. And how much people actually care about it. The atmospheres in the game sounded and looked incredible. As I went to a recent MLS game, I could say that the atmosphere at that MLS game that I went to, it wasn't the one on the 4th of July, but it was great. This is a sign of growing interest in the game, and the 2026 World Cup is going to be, it's going to be fun. And then finally, another thing that the MLS did great, the Messi move, which is sparking up interest in the MLS and American soccer like crazy. The unveiling date has been announced. It will be July 16th at DraftKings Stadium, which is Inter Miami Stadium. But overall, that move has just helped American soccer so much, and now all eyes are on the MLS. And in conclusion, they've helped grow the game so much in the past 6 months, which is honestly great. Another way that American soccer has been helped by some organizations is the United States men's national team, and obviously the women's national team. Maybe we'll cover a little bit of the Women's World Cup, maybe like near the end stages, but it's going to be harder for me to watch because the World Cup is happening in Australia, New Zealand this year. So I live in the Northeastern United States. So that would be like waking up at 1 or 2 in the morning every single day to watch the Women's World Cup, so that would be kind of hard for me, but I'll try to cover it as best I can. It's starting on July 20th, so definitely watch out for that. But back to my original point, both teams have been incredible recently. Obviously, the women winning 4 World Cups, and now they've had 2 in a row in 2015 and 2019, which has helped grow the game incredibly, inspiring young children. And now the USMNT is starting to impress people. They've won multiple continental tournaments in the span of the last few months and years. They won the Gold Cup in the Nations League in 2021. And then in 2023, they've already won the Nations League. And they're in the late stages of the Gold Cup. They actually play the day I'm recording this against Panama, which I hope to get to see today. And now they've moved up 2 positions, now ranked 11th. This new generation of very young American players has a lot of people in the United States interested in soccer. A lot of people that I know that are interested in soccer now were normally not interested in soccer, but because of how good the national team is, all they do is watch them, which is honestly very cool. In conclusion, this last few months has been incredible for American soccer. I hope it continues to grow as an American who already loves soccer. But other than that, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Share our content with others. Follow us on Instagram. And now we're on Threads, which is like Instagram's competitor to Twitter. We'll be updating you. We'll be reposting some great transfer things. Like Fabrizio Romano, because that's all I get my information from. And thanks for listening again. Until next time, ciao.